Welcome to Dear Timothy Podcast with Maxwell Ogaga, a practical wisdom-filled podcast for pastors and ministry leaders.
Thank you. Okay, let's pray and let's get into the word. Father, thank you because I'm anointed to teach. Thank you because your people are anointed to receive. And together our faith is built up in the knowledge of the person of Jesus. I pray that light and understanding, signs, wonders, and miracles will take place at the teaching of your word in Jesus' mighty name. Say good amen.
Amen.
All right, so I would start an engagement this morning on making full proof of your ministry. Now, one of the reasons that I don't allow Dear Timothy teachings to be streamed is because I believe that people should pay the price to be together. And most importantly, there are very practical things that we talk about. And like I was telling Pastor, I said, if it is about streaming it, I wouldn't have put myself on the road for 4 hours and come. I could probably just set up a studio in my house and do it. So I also think that for a specialized meeting like the Dear Timothy, if people had paid the price to come, then it would just be good to give them that value. And so that's one of the reasons. Because people ask me all the time, why don't we stream? We're really blessed. And I'm like, hey guys, I went to Kenneth Copeland Ministries Ministers Conference 2 years ago, 3 years ago thereabouts. Not too very good with dates. So my wife tells me everything is 2 years ago. Everything in your life happened 2 years ago. Because I just say 2 years ago, you know. But I went for a ministers conference, you know, spent over $1 million on my tickets, spent over 500,000 accommodation, praise God, bought materials, amen. I didn't stream the meeting. Because value, you can only say you value something if you're willing to pay the price. That's why I tell singles in my church, if the guy you're going out with cannot pay your diary, there's no value. Because if he values you, he will pay something for you. Praise God. So, thank you for coming this morning. I deeply, deeply appreciate you. And we do not take your attendance for granted. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 5. I'll use the NIV version. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 5. But you keep your head in all situations. How about this for an advice for a pastor? Praise God. How about this? Have you gone on social media? You know, I screenshotted a pastor was writing something and I screenshotted it to my wife and I said, look at what this pastor wrote. Everything he wrote in that message was true. But in that message, you will see words like idiot, fool, blockhead. But it was true. How about keeping your head when you're offended? I mean, imagine we have a pastor's meeting and he say, well, I want everybody to keep their head. Praise God. You know, I'm not going to teach you how to grow your church. I don't teach church growth. And so if you came here to how to be grow your church, just, it's still early. I don't have that message. I've never taught on church growth. Because most of the people that I teach in Dear Timothy, their church is not growing. Do you understand that? Because I don't want you to make that your aim. Faithfulness should be your aim. And the numbers will follow. If you don't define your success in ministry early, you will compromise. You have to define what is success to you. You have to. You know, we are inspired by other people's story and we despise our own story. So, you see Paul Enenche, for instance, and he will tell you, when I started, we were only three. Say, wow! You are three. Why are you not doing wow to yourself? Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody's process should not inspire you and you despise your own process. Because this is your own process. No matter how you admire someone ahead of you, the greatest story of your life is the one God is writing. It's not the one he has wrote about someone. Because we're having an identity crisis in this generation. Are we against big churches? Absolutely no. Our churches are going to grow big. Are we against wealthy churches? Absolutely no. We're not the poor bunch. You know, sometimes ago, they wanted to do a birthday for me, and my wife was asking the kids, what should we get for your dad? And my son said, he has everything. Because, I mean, I'm blessed. People just bless me with stuff. I've been in ministry since January 1st, 2001. I've not bought anything for myself. Everything I wear. I mean, okay, I bought this ring. And this 1,000 naira. Bought it from the Hausa man. I just looked at it. I mean, this 1,000 is the most expensive ring I've had. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, if I didn't tell you the amount, now I say, man, you know his ring is pure silver. Keep your head in all situations. Even when you walk into churches that are larger than yours, keep your head. When you meet pastors who are driving stuff that are bigger than yours, keep your head. And when you meet pastors who are working more miracles than the miracles that you work in your church, keep your head. It's easy to lose your head in ministry. Isn't it amazing that today we're seeing pastors being caught for using medicine to try to grow church? Why would you use medicine to help God who called you? Like, you called me. Then I have to go look for power somewhere else to do what you called me to do. And it's all because we've defined ministry by size and not by character. Are you still here? Come, are you with me? So, but keep your head in all situations. Just keep your head. Have you ever driven before and you're trying to navigate a hold up or something? If you drive with your wife, it can be easy. It can be an interesting experience. You say, match the brake, lift the brake. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Right? Because if you're navigating such terrain, you need to keep your head. You can't be the captain of a ship if you can't keep your head. Praise God. One time in church, we got a lady who just got married and had a baby, and the baby fell. The baby was crying. Then she was crying. So I told my wife, I said, that's the issue. When we say you can't marry alone because you are biologically ready, they'll think, oh, but I'm 20 something. I say, you can be 20 something and your body is ready, but your emotions are not ready. A baby fell, the baby is crying, you are crying. So we had to help her stop crying and also cry. So we have two babies there. What am I saying? When situations go contrary in ministry, you have to keep your head. There cannot be a crisis in ministry and you're also in crisis. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That the ministry is going to crisis and you are in crisis. The seemingly poverty in the ministry must not enter your heart. There's lack. But you see, those words must not come out of your mouth. Those words must not come out of your mouth. The offering basket does not look like what can meet the needs. Keep your head. Don't lose your head with the lack that is apparent. Then he says, endure hardship. Endure hardship. It is a prayer. It says endure it. That means pass through it with the determination that you will pass through it. You know, today we don't teach about hardship in ministry. So when people see hardship, they feel it's a demonic oppression. Endure hardship. That's why you see that today, what we call church planting, in the real sense of it, is people trying to do ministry without hardship. So somebody wants to plant a church, and the first thing he's thinking about is the aesthetics of the hall, the light, The ambience, the branding. Breakfast Sunday. If you do breakfast Sunday, don't you know who you will attract? Hungry people. No serious adult will get up in the morning because of tea and bread. But if you start a church, you will attract the poor people. Yeah, they'll come. Those are the first people God sends to you to prove your grace. Because poor people are difficult to lead. No, wealthy people are easier to lead. Poor people, they have terrible problem leading them. That's why most people are poor. Because they cannot be led by anyone. That's the truth. You know that a wealthy man will ask his accountant or something, say, what do you think we should do here? The accountant will say, let's not invest here. He say, okay, go ahead. A poor man will argue why betting will make him richer than Dangote. It's just a matter of time. You don't understand. Are you hear what I'm saying? So those kind of people come around you. Those are discontent, debt, distress like David. It would, all the gifts, all the fruits of the Spirit in your life will be stretched. Are you hear what I'm saying? They will stretch everything, fruit of the Spirit, long suffering, patience, kindness, gentleness. And they are preparing you for the main church. Because they don't stay. Because immediately the church starts growing, they say, when we started this church, pastor used to have time for us. Because they don't like growth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I'm saying this now. You must also learn to know when to make the transition. Because most churches do not grow above 50 because the pastors never make the transition from being a family member to becoming a leader. I remember when I said, if you needed to see me in church, you should start filling appointments. I lost some people because they had my number. Then they will not fill the appointment form and they will send me a text. And I say, fill the appointment form so I can see you. They say, in those days, we'll just tell pastor, I want to see you on Thursday. He will come and see us. Now, we'll send message. He'll say, let's go and fill form. So you'll now be torn between pleasing them and growing. Because they have forgotten that even you need more time to do things. You need to be on schedule. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Since they don't value time, they also will not want you to value time. So endure hardship. Ministry is tough. Ministry is tough. You see, when soldiers are enlisted for battle, they enlist them with the mind of war. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the reason why the first thing a soldier does is to sign his debts. Because even if there's no war, you prepare for war. It's not the day for war that you prepare for war. We cannot say, war is coming. Oh yeah, come and learn how to shoot gun. No. Do you understand what I'm saying? So even when there's no war, soldiers are taken to, places where they act war. They do stuff. And that's why soldiers don't live in civilian barracks. Have you ever wondered? And I'll talk about that, I'll talk about that as well. You know why soldiers don't live in civilian barracks? It's because you don't want them to pick that civilian lifestyle. You know how civilians work? January 1st, I'm going to jog. This year I want to keep fit. I want to have 6 packs. Then January 1st, they start jogging. I hear you. January 15th, start jogging. By January 30th, now with their life, they juggle. By January 20th, Tommy say, oh guy, you're not jogging. He say, I better forget. Tinubu jog before I become president. Do you understand what I'm saying? Before you know, that whole goal, that discipline is gone. The difference between a civilian and a military person is that a military person does things because it is commanded. A civilian does things if he feels like. So, they separate military people and put them in barracks so that, are you hearing what I'm saying? In the morning, you hear maybe the 5th battalion, they are going, hey. You know that after they are hey, you are next. Do you understand? There's no option. It's not like your neighbor is jogging. You now say, I can't come out today. You must come out. That's why one of the things we'll get to, if God helps us tomorrow, is having your company. If you work with people who are materialistic in ministry, it's a matter of time. You'll be materialistic. You have to have your company. Listen, you can't listen to every preacher. His trending does not mean he's truthful. This man, have you heard him? I asked one guy, I said, the person God asked you to follow has over 2,000 messages. Have you finished them? Are you hearing what I'm saying? God called you. Follow Pastor Emmanuel. Pastor Emmanuel has preached 700 messages. Have you finished them? You are now looking for what this pastor preached. Right? I mean, my brother comes to pick me all the time. If you enter my room, a message is playing, right? A message is playing. You must build those things. I'm just introducing some stuff here. Some practical things to help you. When I got into the room, you know, they wanted to put off the TV, so they put off. So he said, no, pastor doesn't put on TV in his hotel room. I was surprised at how they didn't know. So he said, when my younger brother came, my younger brother told him. Are you hear what I'm saying? I'm an adult. I'm not an adult. Let it not be on. There are things you must build around yourself by discipline. And we will get there. You build it. I have grown. No, you don't outgrow certain things. We're talking about making foolproof of your ministry. Say, do the work of an evangelist. That means the pastor must be a consistent soul winner. Souls must be the evangelist. Souls must be your heartbeat all the time. Then he says, discharge all the duties of your ministry. How many of your duties? Discharge all the duties. That's what the King James says. Make full proof of it. You know, make full proof. It's old English. It says, discharge all the duties of your ministry. The New Living Translation, my brother. New Living Translation, NLT if you have it. It says, but you should keep a clear mind. Look at this. In every situation, a clear mind. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. There's no soft life in ministry. I hear what I'm saying. There's no soft life in ministry. Don't fear. You see, one of the reasons that I have contentment in ministry is that I entered ministry and I said, if I was going to be poor, it is okay. In fact, by the time I got my first car, it was such a surprise. I didn't have a goal, you know, I want a car this year. If I realize that most times that I say I want a car, it's the car delays. I'm not saying you shouldn't set goals, but you see, if you ask me now which kind of car I want to drive, I might not be able to tell you because I haven't taken my time to study which one is. There's nothing wrong with that. You see, but early enough, I told myself that I will not allow material things be my pursuit. Whatever the Lord wants for me, where that is concerned, let God bring it. It has settled my heart. I don't have, by now I should be driving this. By now, I should be dead. So, do you understand? So, there is no amount of pressure. Because these are the things that tamper our head in ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Where you take your identity from your local church and you are doing ministry, but you've damaged your self-identity. You're not bold anymore because you feel that, only 20 people are listening to you. If you know how difficult it is to change one life, and you have 20 lives, I have a church. A church in Boni. We have like 200 members. It's a big place. He's been there. I have a church that have 10 members that I'm pastoring. The church I went to plant now, They sent me reports of those who went for prayer meeting yesterday. It was 10. There are sometimes 15. Do you think it's easy for God to pull you from a 200-member church with your own facility, with everybody, where all I need to do is just take mic and go and preach? Where my staff are working and everything, and God now says, go to a city, go and start church. And I started with 5 people. Do you know the mental torment? On Sunday, I preached to 200 people. Right? With overflow. Good facility. Then the very next Sunday, I'm preaching to 10 people. I'm the 10 people with a lot of follow-up. Please try to make it. Please try. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know what it will do to your mind? At a point, you just say, come, let me give you, you think, are we playing in this place? But you see, there are different types of suffering. You must not be more happier when you are preaching to those 200 than when you are preaching to the 10. You must not, that's, God must not catch you smiling more. That's how ministry is. See, if we start teaching ministry like this, people will value obedience more than results. Because results will follow obedience. See, we're not against results. So if it's to talk about wealth or crowd, it will come. No, it will. It will. It's a matter of time. I was telling someone the other day, I don't know, some of you would have seen the lady, Nancy Dufresne, you know, Nancy, right now people are knowing about Nancy a lot. Nancy, she's been pastoring for 40 years. She's been in ministry for 40 years. 40 solid years. But it looks like it is now people are knowing her. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We prayed a prayer this morning, and it's a very important prayer, because I see it today where ministers are going into content creation. You kiss your wife, the media team is there. Oh, we just love the way daddy kiss mommy. You are cooking for your wife, the media team is there. You go to the gym, the media team is there. You see, if we pursue entertainment over education, we will not raise a serious church. Ensure that what is keeping people with you is the word and the spirit. Only the word and the spirit. For 3 months, we didn't have a keyboardist in the new church we started in Port Harcourt. We didn't have it. And imagine what it is to run a church in Port Harcourt without a keyboardist. Because all the keyboardists I was getting were very interesting people. You know, I got one that wanted to play for us. And I just felt like asking him, do you play for somewhere, anywhere else? He said, sometimes. I said, where? Then I asked him directly, do you play on Fridays? He said, yes. I said, where do you play on Fridays? Obviously, he was playing for a club. I said, no, you can't play for me. The other one, I was talking with him, and I said, do you have a church you're playing for? He said, yes. He said, but I'm playing for money. He said, so if you can pay me, I will come. I said, what role are you in that church? He says, their music director. I felt sorry for his pastor. So I said, no, I won't do that. So I told the church, it's not as if we don't have money to pay keyboardist, but we haven't found the right person. So we did service for 3 months without the keyboardist. So those who came to the church because of keyboard left. So our numbers dropped. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because church is not, church, you see, let me tell you, your real members are those you can drop a message for on WhatsApp and say, we have a meeting. Without flyer, without, are you hearing what I'm saying? And they will show up. Those are the people who are your real members. So you must understand what you're building. You must understand what you're building. Because we're going to spend the rest of our life on this track. We better get it right. This is what we're going to do with our life. There's nothing else. Pastor is working now. Even if he walks to retirement, what will he still do for the remaining part of his life? His ministry. Do you understand what I'm saying? At least that work has time limits. Even if he does not want to resign, they can resign him. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, even in oil company, they'll say voluntary retirement. They'll say it's okay. Come and take some money and go home. We need younger people. So everything in this life has a time limit. The only thing that doesn't have a time limit for you is ministry. So why not do it well? Let's not approach ministry like it is short-term employment. Don't have that perception. That's why if you miss it, humble yourself, start again. And say, yeah, let me get it right. There's no need to hurry. There's no need to hurry. Corbin, are you here? Are you with me? We're still in introduction. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Walk at telling others the good news. Walk at telling others the good news. So when you talk about the ministry of an evangelist, don't just see it from the point of soul winning. Proclamation of the good news. Spread the message. Record your message. Put it out there. You are a pastor and your Facebook post is more about APC and PDP than the work of the Lord. What is wrong with you? Politics, sports. No, once in a while, once in a while, those who follow me know I just post sports things once in a while. Just to let people know I'm human. Yeah. That's just it. It's intentional. Once in a while, I just post about sports. But if you follow my page, you can see maybe once in 3 months, I just post something about just to let people know that pastor is a human being. Why would you have a ministry page and we go there and we can't find the good news and you're a pastor? What happened to summarizing your message every week and posting? I pay someone to summarize my message every week and I post. You know, some people, when they follow me on Facebook, they wonder how I have time to do other things. Because if you're on my page, you can just see things coming. What am I doing? I'm working at telling others the good news. Instead of buying lights, why don't you buy a proper recording machine and record what you are teaching? Because you have misplaced priorities. You spend $500,000 for gospel extravaganza. You brought Minister K, Minister Y, Minister X, Minister Confusion, Minister this one. Brought everybody. Your church does not have a laptop to record the words of eternal life that you are teaching. Misplaced priority. How would you tell the good news when it's not recorded? How will you share it? You have one responsibility. Dissemination of the good news. And you must find every means to do it. Every means to do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And fully carry out. Everybody say fully carry out. The ministry God has given to you. Now I like the word fully carry out. Fully carry out means that it is possible to be in ministry and you don't fully carry out the duties. What you should be afraid of in this life is standing before God and God would say you could have done much more. You could have done much more. You could have done much more. You know, sometimes the way I walk, my wife feels sorry for me. And that's the one word I don't want to hear. That God looks and says, you could have gone to Enugu, but you didn't do it. Or you could have been here. You didn't. You could have been here. You had the door. You had the opportunity. But you were too lazy, you were too this, you were too that. Fully carry out the ministry. Not many people are called. You see, well, let me not say. Many people are in ministry, but God didn't call many people. Let me put it that way. There are pastors everywhere. It's not every pastor that God called. You must know. And your friends must be people that God called. You must be careful of that. Don't walk with people that God did not call. Yeah. Don't walk with people that God did not call. And you must be sure that the person who is your friend in ministry is not the one telling you that God, you are sure God called this person. Because many people are calling themselves today because of what they seem as the beauty of ministry or the glamour of ministry. And to them, what is ministry? Somebody carrying their Bible. Papa, welcome sir, welcome sir. Then they carry your Bible. And yeah, so, you see, let me tell you, one of the things that I used to know people that God genuinely called is the heart of a servant. When you talk with them, you hear service. You hear service. When you talk to them about the church, you see the heart of a shepherd coming out through them. That's how you know someone that God genuinely called. This particular member is giving this pastor trouble. But when you speak to the pastor, it's like love still comes out for this member. You know that God called that person. But once you hear, once I place a curse on you, you are trying the anointed. You just know that, my friend, there's something wrong. Either God didn't call you, or God called you. You are now bitter. Because bitter pastors bring forth sweet and bitter waters. And a pastor's mouth must not flow sweet and bitter waters. Your stream must be pure. Because it's that river of life that flows from the throne that gives life wherever it goes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Fully carry out the ministry. Now look at this. That God has given to you. So the ministry is given. Ministry is entrustment. You are entrusted with it. You are entrusted with it. That's why you must be careful when you talk about how you got into the ministry. You know, people talk about how they got into ministry and they say some very interesting things. You know, I fasted for 40 days. Went to the mountain and God appeared to me and put oil in my hand. Let me tell you, there are people who have fasted 60 days. God didn't appear to them. I don't know, maybe it's me. God didn't appear to me. You know, maybe that's why I teach the way I teach and I can relate to people because I don't have all those weird experience. God never called me. God never did. I don't have any commission. Why am I doing ministry? God just asked me to serve my father. I just started serving my father full time in the ministry. Serving him and helping him. That's why I ended up where, that's why for me, I don't understand when ministers sometimes do like, they paid so much price for God to call them. Have you heard people say, well, you know, I was doing this job and God said I should leave it. I said no. And I was arguing with God for 2 years. You're boasting of your disobedience and like you're really boasting of it. See, after, you know, then my wife now died. You know, my cat died. Then I now said yes. So you were so important that God had to kill one wife and one cat for you to say, and you're saying it. You should be ashamed. Of course, we don't even want to go into the theology of not understanding who God is, but if you're that stubborn for people to die before you say yes, then there's a problem. You know why? We want to appear very special. But Paul says, not many who are noble are called. Says not many who are wise. See, if you don't have that sense, you would always see ministry as a privilege. Not as a privilege, but as a right. So when you start pastoring people, look at this. You will pastor them with the mind that, you know what, I'm the one doing you people a favor. Not that God is entrusting you to me. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. It's like a nanny that sees a little girl in the house and says, you know what? Your mother gave me to you to keep. Right? Can slap the girl, whatever. But if the nanny says, you know what? It's because your mother trusts me to look after you that your mother went to the market and left you with me. How many of you know? So in that place, the first nanny is seeing the little child as, you know what? Man, you are wasting my time. If not for taking care of you, I should be watching TV now. Right? But the other nanny is saying, you know what? Because of your mother, because of the trust, I'm going to take care of you well. Same situation, different approach. There are pastors who stand on the pulpit and feel like members are wasting their time. That if it was not for the call, by now they'll be the MD of MTN. So you hear them say, I went to school. I'm also an engineer. Don't think I did not go to school. Listen, I will bring my certificate. I will bring it. You think I'm an illiterate? Why are you doing all that? Because you're trying to show the people like, you know what? You guys are wasting my time. If God didn't give me this useless plan of becoming a pastor, I had greater plans for my life. It's just that God doesn't know what he's doing. He called me to waste my time. And you see, when you approach ministry from that perspective, you will never be a servant leader. The Bible says that even though Jesus was one with God, he counted it not robbery, but did what? Emptied. If you look, some translation says he emptied himself. Look at what Jesus prayed. He said, the glory I had with you before, please give me. It means that he left certain things to save mankind. You must leave certain things to do ministry. You must leave your pride. sometimes you might have to speak Pidgin English so people will understand you. You are not there to show them that you were a linguistic professor before God called you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes! Our main church is large. I can't remember doing visitation maybe in a while. I've got leaders under me. But when we went to plant the Port Harcourt church, I had to write the names. And I'll talk about that if God helps me. I wrote the name of every member. I visit every week. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This week now I visited. Next week, every family, I'm going, I'm doing, you know, at a point, I think one of those days I was home, I was doing something and I just called my wife. I said, I can't remember when I had to cook for myself. I can't remember when I had to do certain things for myself again, because it's like you're starting from afresh, but you must do it with joy. Because that's how God tests your faithfulness. You know, some people can't wait to be big. They can't wait. They can't wait till Papa just shows up. They can't wait. They are, my daughter, she's 12. So she wants to do certain things. I say, no, you can't do that now. So sometimes she'll come and ask, say, at what age can I do this? Like, she can't wait. She said, at what age can I do this? At what age can I do that? Are you hearing what I'm saying? She can't just wait. You know how we're growing up and we're waiting for beers. Then we took spirit. What our chin suffered in this life. Spirit everywhere. They put whatever they told you to do to get beers. Now. Eh? I like God. You know, I now envy some people who don't have beers. That are God. I wish, do you understand what I'm saying? We couldn't wait to get beers. Now that we have beers is a challenge. Some of us can't wait to be big. We can't wait for the big church. And you know what? It means that if we can't wait for the big church, we will not enjoy the process of going to the big church. So, some people are not happy today as pastors. You know why they are not happy? They have not hit their goal. And you see what? The beauty of pastoring is enjoying the journey. Because I'll tell you something. Sometimes that big state you are saying might never come. So what will you do? If you never trend, what will you do if the church never became 200? What will you do if the church never became 10,000? Does it mean that for your life, you will be bitter and be angry? Because sometimes we must be honest with ourselves. We're doing everything they say we should do. We are praying. We are fasting. We are doing cell group. We are following. We are sowing seed. We have even gone to pack sand in Canaan land. There's nothing we've not done. One time I saw one pastor. He wrote and then he had sand in one paper bag. I said, boy, why are you going about with sand? He said, no. This one is from Papa's. I said, which of them? He says, Canaan Land Church. I said, oh, okay. So what do you want to do with it? He says, putting it on his ground. I knows. You know, I don't have transport to go and pack sand. So I stay with the word. My church is, in a way, still bigger than his church. Without sand. Now I'm just wondering if I add sand, what's going to happen? So I say, let's do without sand so that, you know, so that when they ask us, say, this is your church, is it with sand or without sand? Say, no, this is without sand. Now, I don't have a problem if that's where your level of faith is, but at the end of the day, let's be honest. Ministry is by grace. It's by grace. And we have to enjoy the journey. Do you understand? I have to enjoy teaching you. I have to enjoy. You know, sometimes people come into our church and they say, it's like you just enjoy teaching. I said, yes. This is what God has called me to do. These are the people that I have now. Do you understand? It's like getting married to one wife and you constantly talk about somebody else you should have married in school. At a point, the wife will say, you know what? Choose. Are you with me? Got to enjoy the journey. Carry out the ministry God has given you. Carry out the ministry God has given you. Enjoy the journey. Colossians 4:12 says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. This is a pastor's meeting, so I'll stretch it, okay? See to it. Put it up for me. Colossians 4:17. Imagine they are writing the Bible, a letter to a whole church. They now pick your name, Pastor Prince. I know you, so I'll use you as an example. Say, see to it, Prince, that you fulfill the ministry. Be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave. Do you remember what we read in Timothy? Carry out the ministry the Lord gave. Are you still seeing it? That it's the Lord that gives ministry. We don't take ministry. We don't take it. You don't take apostle by force. Say, small children that we raise are now apostles and I'm still a pastor. Are they joking? Go to Facebook post. Click edit profile. Write apostle. I was talking to a young man and I was surprised. I said, you were a pastor some years ago. He said, yes, that the Lord has elevated him. I said, wow. He says, he's an apostle. I said, oh, I know those people. You don't play with them. So I said, apostle. I said, call him as apostle. Then a few years later, I saw prophet. I said, it's like you've passed again. Because for some of us, we think this ministry gifts are, you start as an evangelist, you become an apostle, you know, evangelist, then pastor. Evangelist is the unserious brother in church who is just serious. Then when he has been ordained, he becomes a pastor. Eh? Then from there, apostle. Then from there, prophet. Then to separate yourself from other prophets, now have major prophets. Eh? Then if that is not enough, you add a nickname, aka Thunder Missile. Is it? Let me tell you something. Sometimes, low self-esteem comes out in many forms. And if you are not discerning, you will not know. Low self-esteem. You are a reverend doctor and you have not written 10 pages of quality material in all your life. Even if they gave you, that is free. Don't you have sense to say this gift is bigger than me? Do you understand? I see that for us young ministers, those things are the things we are now chasing. What Paul looked at the Corinthians church. He said, you are the seal, you are the proof of my apostleship. It's not the title. He says, I'm not an apostle after the will of man. See, but an apostle by the will of God. What makes an apostle? What makes an apostle? Because we don't even know what makes an apostle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We just take the title. What if I ask an apostle now, what makes you an apostle? He say, we meet Sunday afternoon. So people that meet Sunday morning are pastors. The people that meet Sunday afternoon are apostles. Very, very my. So it shows, and I will get there, God helping us. It shows that even those of us called into these offices do not know the qualities of the office. We don't even know. The ones called are confused. Why will the members not be confused? Who is a prophet? Do we even know the difference between an Old Testament prophet and a New Testament prophet? Because we have New Testament prophets today using the operating status of Old Testament. So prophets today are people who call people to disgrace them. By the time you finish a prophetic service, a marriage that was at the verge of breaking is broken. Homes scattered. Now you have come because God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Your own prophetic ministry is of cancellation. You cancel things. And yet, those are the things we envy. You see, if you don't have the right models, you will pursue the wrong thing. That's why I'm telling you this. Listen carefully to me. Having the right model in ministry is one of the number one ways to fulfill your ministry. Know who you're following. I don't follow every preacher that trends. That's just the truth. I don't follow every preacher. There are preachers that are trending in this nation that have not listened to one of their messages. You know why? The ones that God called me to follow, I've not finished what God told them to teach. It's simple wisdom. God said, follow this pastor. This guy has over 2,000 messages, over 10 books. Then I see that this pastor is reigning. I leave the one God has called me to, and I start listening to this one. You see, when you are unstable, you cannot make meaning of anything. And that's something in this generation. You watch people like Bishop Oyedepo, for instance. He will tell you, Archbishop Idahosa. Right? and you see years down the line, still going to Archbishop. Years down the line, still there. This generation, one person have changed spiritual fathers 5 times. Because every time you receive correction, you change father. I say, the man does not understand. He does not understand the vision. You know, one time, growing up, one guy came to me that, then I was still growing up, didn't have enough money then. He came, that I should mentor him. So I started mentoring him. Then he said he has this business idea. As of then, the highest money I've seen in my life is 10,000 naira. The business idea was 10 million. So I said, no, I cannot mentor you. I said, go and find. He said, but you have wisdom. I said, yeah, the wisdom has not produced. The wisdom was still, wait. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because how will I counsel you with 10 million? When even seeing the number where you wrote it is giving me heart attack. Mentor. Do you, if you add all my generation together then, add my generation, maybe extend it to the 10th one. All of us cannot produce 10 million. He said, I should mentor you. You know, because as a pastor, you can take a job that God has not called you to. I was counseling one of my members a few days ago. So I said, you're going through stuff. You know, the Lord showed me you're going through stuff. He said, Pastor, I don't want to talk about it. And I said, no problem. I'm not looking for extra work. I said, any day you are ready, I'm here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I'm not looking, you know, I'm not taking my self-esteem by how many people are counseled. Since you don't want to talk, me too, I'm not ready to do. I go back home because my primary work is prayer and study. It gives me more time. I won't be chasing you for information. I told people in my church, make sure you are lost. Because if you are not lost, I won't leave the 99 and come after you. It's only the lost that I'll leave the 99 for. But if you are a rebellious goat, wherever you go to, when you are ready, the door is open, come back. Because sometimes we've taken our self-esteem from people so much that we are chasing those who left as opposed to focusing on the committed. So the whole church is following one man. Say, what happened now? We are trying, come now, try. The whole church. Then the guy said, okay, I've heard you people. Tell pastor we reach him. One guy left church. His anger was that I didn't call him. I said, you have left now. Where will I call you? So we were asking, say, if I left, pastor did not ask after me. I said, what's my problem? I opened church, opened door, you came inside for 2 years. The church is still here. The door is still open. You went out. Then I said, in the next 5 years, the church will be here. The door will be open. You can still come back. Why are you angry? Because I don't take my self-esteem from those things. Because if you do that, that's why Saul lost the kingship. God told him, kill everything. He says, but the people wanted us to sacrifice to you. God says, no. Obedience, it's more than sacrifice. In ministry, what we should emphasize is obedience. Are you doing what God called you to do? In my book, Pastoring Through Prayers. Right? Okay. Either Pastoring Through Prayers or Art of Concentration. I talked about the story of a man. God told him, go preach in the woods. He went the first day. Which of them? Okay, it's Art of Concentration. Right? God said, go preach in the woods. The man went and preached. Second day, God said, go preach in the woods. He went there and preached. Third day, God said, go preach in the woods. He went. Fourth day, he was preaching in the woods and a man came out. Woods is forest. You know, I say woods. Don't think that. I say, oh God, please send me to the woods. It's not the name of a country. It's forest. Bush. And a man came out and said, I wanted to commit suicide on the first day and I heard you preach. So I said, well, I'll do it tomorrow. For 3 days, that man consistently came to kill himself. But there was an obedient servant of God who went there to preach. God, do you know what it means if God says, go to one village here and go and preach? And that's something I'm doing in Port Harcourt in March. The ministerial leadership training class that we're putting up. Self-esteem in ministry, because many people have been counseled out of God's will for their lives. God called you to be a missionary. And the man looks at you and says, no. You studied chemical engineering. No. They will not receive your ministry there. go where you are celebrated. Then you now carry that and now go to Abuja. You are now struggling to parent. There was a young man in Abuja. He was struggling to do ministry. So he reached out to me. He said, I've heard you teach in Dear Timothy meetings and you teach differently. He said, I feel like going to my village. From Abuja. Pastor Priestley, he's at Irua. I said, so what are you doing in Abuja? He said, everybody I've talked to said, it's better I launch in Abuja. Then from, I said, my friend, go where God have sent you and go and launch. The man went, and listen, it's like his whole life picked up. Finances begin to come. God helped set him ministry. They bought a bike for him. His church is doing well now in Irua, in Edo State there. Because I preached there, not in his church. I preached in that locality. You see, your prosperity is in the place of your assignments, not the place you want to be. When God sent us to Bonny Island, I almost wept. In fact, our church was not growing for a while. I was praying and asking God, what's going on? Because I told myself, 4 years in this land, I'm out. Bonny Island, you've been there. You can only enter by, I think when Emmanuel was coming, there was a boat we were supposed to use, Pastor Emmanuel. There was a boat we were supposed to use. He didn't get the boat. He had to use the local. There's no option. You either go by that or it was tough. And me, I like to travel. I know God has called me to travel. I now ask myself, how will I travel from an island? Where, before you travel anywhere, you have to first come to Port Harcourt, 2 hours. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not the best place for somebody with an itinerary ministry. From that island, we've gone to 20 nations of the world. And you know where God took me from? Warri, that has airports. How does God take you, giving you a word to the nations, and take you from a city with an airport, and put you in an island that, before you start any journey, it's 2 hours coming out first. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So it takes us to our first point. It takes us to our first point here, on God has a master plan for your life. I'll talk about 8 things. So I'll just teach for the next 15 minutes and then we'll just take a 15 minutes break. Just walk around and come back. So I'm going to finish tomorrow, okay? God has a master plan for your life. We talk about it, but it's important for us to know that every ministry, God has got a master plan for that ministry. God has a specific plan for this church. God has a specific plan for you. And even if you're a church worker, God's got a specific plan for you in that local church. Specific plan. See, God is not confused. God is not unstable. He called you for an assignment. He called you for a need. And I'll say, if there was no need, God would not have called you. If you were not needed, God would not have placed demands on. Do you realize? Maybe you're like 6 in your family or 3 in your family and God called you to be in ministry. You know, sometimes when we are in ministry, because we talk about ministry a lot, we feel everybody's interested in ministry. Not everybody. But God picked you. But God called you. When I was doing Dear Timothy, and I do Dear Timothy around the nations of the earth, sometimes people ask me, so how did you come about with Dear Timothy? I said, I didn't come about with it. I didn't. Do you understand? It wasn't my intention to say, you know, I'm going to start gathering pastors. I'm going to start. I didn't. I just said, you know what? I kept feeling in my heart to teach younger ministers. In fact, the first Dear Timothy ministry, I called it Dear Timothy Young Ministers Conference. But an elderly man who was a pastor in our church came for the meeting because he was pastor in our church. The man now called me at the end. He said, these things you are teaching, he said, remove that young girl. He said, it's not for young people at all. So in fact, the man convinced, because the first Dear Timothy meeting I had, I put an age group. I said, the highest you could be to attend a meeting was 29 years then. So he said, remove it. And I wrote the Dear Timothy book based on what I learned from my dad and how you should choose a mentor based on doctrine, character of life, and all these whole things that people choose mentors by. I mean, he was just doing, and that's how God picked up the meeting. Every Dear Timothy I've preached, we've not used our money. I mean, I came for his meeting, and he was like, can we do Dear Timothy? People have paid for me to do Dear Timothy in the US. People have paid for me to do Dear Timothy in Kenya. I mean, paid for everything. There's none of our ministry money. I do Dear Timothy in Bayelsa every May. Somebody paid for it. I'm going to Abuja in May. Do you understand? I mean, I'm not writing letters. Dear pastor, God has given me this vision. Can we collaborate and do something? I'm not saying you should not, but you see, God knows me. I don't have energy to write later. If you are not opening a door, I'm okay where I am. I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody. I'm not trying to say, you know what, in 5 years, Dear Timothy went to 60 countries of the world. And so, if he goes to 60 countries of the world, thank God. If he doesn't go to 60 countries of the world, thank God. I've told my church people, the day money stops coming to this church, I will lock the door. They didn't drive me from my village. I will lock the door and say, thank you very much for a life well spent. Go home. Am I a failure? That's your problem. Do you understand? See, every, and I'll talk about it, God helping me if I get there. Every pressure point in ministry, remove it. Walk into that church and say, you know what? If for the rest of my life I'm pastoring 5 people, I will be okay with it. Not that I'm okay with not growing, but you see, you will not use numbers to get into my heart. You will not use money to get into my heart. You will not use fame to get into my heart. It's like you deal with the pressure points first. And so Satan has nothing to offer you. Are you hear what I'm saying? No pressure for anything. One of the young men that I mentor in ministry in Asaba wanted to do his anniversary. And he told me, he said, pastor, we've got our rent and we have anniversary. I said, cancel anniversary and pay rent. There's nowhere in scripture where it says you do an anniversary. Cancel it. The 3 years we built our church, we didn't do any meeting. Because we're building the church. We built a church, we built our house, we built a guest house. For all those years, we didn't do anything. You know why? So today people come to preach for me and I don't bother about hotel. They stay in the guest house. What are you building in your ministry? You must not do convention all the time. There's a plan for your ministry. That specific plan, listen carefully, determines the kind of programs you hold. If February 14 is coming, you must not confuse yourself to do a Valentine program. Because I know some of you, now you are just under pressure. Eh? Mother's Day. Father, my church knows that on Mother's Day, I can preach. Do you understand? I don't even know. It's when I come, then I say, ah, today is Mother's Day. I say, okay, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Because I don't have to have a Father's Day program. I don't have to. I don't have to. Is it bad? No. But see, the kind of ministry God has called me to do, we can't do Suya Sunday. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, this is the way I operate our church. There are days we'll just come and say, we want to watch movies. People, I understand that. We're social human beings and those things should. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, there are days we'll just, if I was telling my wife that one of these days we'll just bring a popcorn machine outside. Once they close, everybody going home should just take popcorn. It's good. I like a family. But see, that will not happen to bring people to church. Are you hear what I'm saying? It is those that Jesus taught after 3 days that he fed. He said, they have been with us for 3 days hearing the word. So you feed who you are teaching. Let's say your church is 20 people. You now do basmatic rice Sunday. My brother. Then this church is now 100. You now, look at this. You now carry the money of 50 people to feed 100 people who will not stay. Because the next Sunday they are looking at flyer for Suya Sunday. No. You do a service for your 50 people, then you people will chop your food. Do you understand? See, when they have eaten, they will now say, ha, I think my brother needs to eat with me. Then they will go for outreach. Do you understand? They will now go for outreach and bring people. You don't, food. You see, that's why the next day when they pursue Jesus, say, ah, master, where have you been? Ah, we've been waiting for this program. Jesus said, I know you. Jesus said, I know you. If Jesus said, you are following me for the bread. Then Jesus started teaching. They said, this is a hard saying. So you know what Jesus did then? He used the message to drive them. Because feeding is for only those who are listening to you. And there's a difference between feeding and welfare. We can have a feeding outreach. We do have a feeding outreach in our church. In that one, we are not expecting them that because of what we gave to them, they should come to church. we are extending the mercy of God to them. I hope you get what I'm saying. But if we're going to say, what are the tools to get people to church? It must be what Peter said. To whom shall you go? To whom shall we go? For you have the word of truth. Which means that what brings people to church is the word of truth. Then if we want to eat as a church family, why not? We should chop our money once in a while. One time I told them in church, I said, let's cook food for everybody. And then we just eat. Then when I was receiving the offer, I said, how many of you ate? And then they told me, say, how many of you like the food you ate? I said, yes. I said, that's part of your tithe. Praise God. I said, that's part of your tithe. And so they said, I don't know what we are using our tithe to do in this shop. Did you chop rice? Do you understand what I'm saying? And see, when you are receiving offerings, be very practical. Don't be mysterious. When I say, okay, how many of you are seeing this light? They raise their hand. How many of you is the fan blowing? They raise your hand. How many of you like the chairs? Raise your hand. That's why we give. Even if God is not giving us back, sense will tell you that we need to still buy fuel. There's no spiritual thing about offering. We are a family and we need to give. To continue running as a family. Are you hearing what I'm... Because one of the things is we spiritualize everything. Collect offering. You have gone to read 10 passages of scripture. Last Sunday I was giving offering. I said, most of you here don't give. And your children eat biscuit in church, stranger church every Sunday. Don't you have conscience? Who is paying for the biscuit? My friend, give something. Say, if you give now, God will exalt you. God is not exalting you. Give money. The biscuit you are eating, who will pay? Don't make ministry mystical. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's simple conversation. Things need to go on. Staff need to be paid. Of course, there's a spiritual aspect of sowing and reaping. But see, we've gone to the extreme. That people will not, and that's why you see that a guest minister will come to church and say all kinds of things, and people will give, and you're wondering, is this kind of money in the church? But your people should be able to give without such influences, because they understand why they should give. So you've got a specific plan, praise God. There's a specific plan for your ministry. So that plan should determine your programs. So let me give an example. A ministry that is a teaching ministry, for instance, should have specific teaching programs. It means that certain types of program will not fit into the kind of ministry you're building. So, for instance, if somebody without a heart for knowledge comes, they might not be able to fit into your local church. One time a lady came to me, we're just starting there, and he said, I want to find out if they see in this church. I said, no, we don't see. So check the church next door. Because you know what that's going to do? That's going to put pressure on me to operate the gifts of the Spirit every Sunday. And I don't have that time. The gifts, for me, flows as the Lord wills. Which means that in my church, it is normal to open the Bible from morning to evening without giving a prophetic word and close and go home. And it was a great service. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you don't allow people to put pressure. That's why not everybody can suggest the type of program you should do. Why? Because it doesn't fit into the vision. Look at what God told Moses in Exodus. Exodus 25, 40. See that you make them by the pattern for them, which was shown to you on the mountain. He says, when you are building, build according to the pattern. Which means that Moses was to build based on what God showed him. Do you realize that Moses built the ark? And Noah built the ark. Moses built even the ark. But even though both of them are arks, they were different. Are you with me? The ark of Noah and the ark in the temple, both of them can be called ark. But there were different dimensions, look at this, different materials, different sizes. So what does that mean? We can all be building ministry, but we have different emphasis. So in my ministry, for instance, is a teaching ministry, my usher's rights. My usher's rights. My team gets in. When I'm teaching, there's order, there's decency. People don't move around. Why? It's the culture. People write, people take notes, people take detailed notes. In my church, I do dictation, okay, right? And then I dictate. So I joke with them, those of you who jump dictation in school, God has caught you now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we typically not invite a preacher, for instance, that will just come and say, you know what? I said today, God is, my people will not know what to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Say in January you will go over, February you will go over. I say March, nothing is going to hold you. So what will I write now? Do you understand? So by the design of my ministry, certain guest speakers cannot come. Blessed and anointed, but they're not designed for the plan. So if I'm bringing, so for instance, it eliminates who and who cannot preach. Eliminates it. So if you can see certain insights into the scripture and present it, listen, in a certain way, you can preach in my church. Thank God for your call, but you cannot. It also means that I cannot accept certain invitations. One time, one guy wrote me, say, your ministry has been a blessing to my life. I want you to come for a meeting. He says, an all-night meeting. I told him, I don't do all-night. There's nothing wrong with all-night. But I like to sleep. Because I read a lot. Staying awake for me, he said, I'm reading or something. So he said, I still want you to come. I said, okay, on one condition. I will come, teach. I'll come from sleep, teach, and I'll go back to sleep. And if your people see my eye that I've slept, let them not think that the man of God is not serious. Then he now said, okay, because he wants to sit there. I said, what are we teaching on? He said, my blood is bitter. I said, no, I can't come. I don't know which verse of scripture to... Do you know that? When they give you a topic, you should at least have a landing verse to process your thought. I said, Oga... I said, my ministry is still growing. I've not got that easy because I don't even know which, where do I boost? I said, please. I don't know the landing verse. I don't even know where to put my foot to begin to search revelation for this one. So you can't go everywhere. You can't preach for everybody. In fact, right now in my life and ministry, I only accept invitations that I have relationship with the people because I'm no longer doing guest minister. I'm working with people right now that I'm making input into their house. I'm building with them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm making input. I'm helping them to build. I'm not looking for how many places my face are in. And I've turned down a lot of invitations. Because I realize that sometimes people invite you because they just know that, adding you say, that guy, I don't host him. That guy, I've hosted him. No, we're not doing that anymore. We've gone beyond that. Because we're not doing this thing for money. So when people invite me, I'm looking. Is this somebody I want to build with for a long time? Is this a house I want to contribute to what they are doing? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And these are things, these are specific plans. So even though Noah built an ark and Moses built an ark, they are different dimensions. In Hebrews chapter 8 verse 5, same thing was said. They served at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. Alright? No, use the NIV. I want to just show you something there and then we'll take like a 10-minute break. Now, of course, we understand that this was talking about the Old and the New Testament, but I want to bring something out. It says, they serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. That is why Moses was warned. Take note of that. When he was about to build the tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain, Pastor Emmanuel, is not a suggestion. It's a warning. Do you understand? It's not good advice. Why? This is the reason. Because your earthly ministry should be a copy of what is in heaven. Do you understand that? So God called pastor. In heaven, there is already a copy of the ministry you are to run on earth. So the thing is, as you go to the earth, how are they measuring you? What is in heaven? You know, my parents were teachers, right? So they had what you call marking scheme. Marking scheme, right? So they have a marking scheme. Then there's what you call OP. You know what OP is? Yes. You know, the guy can be writing. Extra shit. Then, because when I grew older, I used to have my parents mark. And you know why I could have my parents mark? It was easy. They gave me the marking scheme. See? So, thing. Look for this. Define factors of production. Do you understand? Then you just start. Factors of production is power for the people, of the people, by the people, and then you do 10 pages. Then they write OP. Much activity out of point. Why? Because what you were building is not a copy of what is in heaven. Listen, if we understand this thing, we will not envy anybody. Because the resources God has given to you is for a copy of what is in the heaven. And in ministry, there can be misappropriation of resources. Which means that you do what God has not called you. You now stretch the money that God has given to you to do programs God didn't send you. You know what I'm saying? So you can be a teacher. You can be a teacher. And that's what God is expecting you to do. So when prophetic is raining, one of our guys, I told him, went for a meeting. He said, I see K. It's not very clear, but something like, I say, Oga, you are wasting our time. Until it's clear, let us know. Since the channel is not clear, you are stressing everybody. Now, all of us are wondering, is it Koboleg? Is it KG? What nonsense is all this? That is, I see K, it's not clear. My friend. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't. And you see, when I say these things, don't think we don't have supernatural. You were in FROC, right? First night, First Refreshers Conference, I called for people with blood conditions. Remember that? In December, there's a lady who came for that meeting. I talked about it a bit. There's a lady who came for that meeting who had a blood issue. She had to take drugs to be able to walk for a while and take drugs in the evening just for her blood because she used to lose. She was dizzy, kind of. Her bag had drugs. Usually, for Faith Refreshers Conference, it's Saturday night I do healing. I don't know why God led me to call for blood issues. Laid hands on her. She met me outside and said, this is my condition. And she was given all those things to prepare her for surgery. She was scheduled for surgery the next week. After hands were laid on her Thursday night, Friday she didn't take those drugs. She was okay. Friday night she didn't. Saturday night she didn't. Sunday night she didn't. Monday she didn't. Went back to the doctors. There was no need for surgery anymore. She took the money that was meant for surgery, gave it as an offering. In December, she came. We're having Thanksgiving and testimony service. She came and said, listen, the miracle happened in this church. So I came to testify. This is what God did. Do you hear what I'm saying? But you never will hear me say, you know what? God has anointed me with a special healing anointing. I know how God works with me when I'm teaching through the word of knowledge. I've gone to preach in churches where I will be describing what is going on in the church. In fact, one was so much, the last time I preached in the church in Lagos, it was so real that whatever was happening in the church, I will go in front of the people and talk. Give examples, maybe like two of you are calling and say, you know, for instance, this brother are having issues. See, the pastor folded in his seat. I thought I was touching his life. Then it just came out of my spirit. Me and your pastor didn't discuss. So this is how God uses me when I'm teaching to the word of knowledge. The pastor just said, thank you, Jesus. And just, if the pastor was like, how will I tell my people that I didn't tell pastor what was going on? Now, I understand how the gift of the spirit flow in the teaching ministry. So sometimes when I'm teaching, it looks like I've gone out of point. And I'm giving an example. And I'm saying something that is not in line with what is in my notes. I flow. Because I know God is dealing with something specific. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I don't envy somebody that just say, there are six people here. One is Naomi. One is Ruth. If I close my eye, I don't see Naomi. Do you get what I'm saying? God has not given it to me. I don't need to fast to get that. I need to fast so that what I already have will be more precise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God gave 5. God gave 3. God gave 2. God gave 1. God never came to that one and said, I gave you 1. And I demand results for 5. No, God is not unjust. Gifts that God has not given to me, I don't envy. And there are people that walk into a place and men, they will pick names, they will pick phone number. The truth of the matter is that if God has given you that gift, it will be effortless. In my notes, I have 8 points. Right? So I've used 1 hour for introduction. And I've taught 1 point. Right? So you can know that teaching for me is effortless. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's effortless. The burden of the ministry should be light. If it's heavy, it's not the Lord's burden. Let's be on our feet. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We yield to you for precision and accuracy. We yield to you for clarity. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for clarity. Yes, we pray for clarity. Stand over us. We pray for clarity and accuracy in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, let's have our seats. We'll take a...
Thank you for listening to Dear Timothy Podcast. For more information, please visit www.pastormax.ng or call +234 805 888 7575. Thank you.